5 p.m. And we don't have any approval of minutes. And I actually wanted to clarify that, because our last meeting that we had, we, basically didn't have a quorum. So we kind of moved, it was the decision to move forward with the meeting, even though we didn't have a quorum, we didn't make any decisions. We really were just talking through kind of bringing the committee up to speed. So we do have a recording. So if you're interested in watching the recording, or if you haven't already, just let us know.
It is riveting.
Mm-hmm. It is.
I watched it. It was riveting.
Yeah. Okay. So yes, as Lonnie said, we don't have any open forum. Nobody requested to speak. So I want to start with the first item on the agenda, which is let's have everybody introduce themselves, because Leslie and Jim were not here the last time. So if we can go around and start with Risa. Go ahead, Risa.
I'm Risa. I need more prompting. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Sorry.
It's okay. I want to answer what you want to hear, so to speak.
Risa, just tell us, everybody can tell us their favorite recreational activity.
Oh, that's going to be hard. Lonnie can speak for me. No, I'd say swimming and hiking and gardening. I can't pick.
Great. Thanks. Val, do you want to go next? You're muted.
Unmute. Val Rogers, Rogue World Music. We partner with APRC on the Ashland World Music Festival, which is coming right up as a fire relief fundraiser. And these days, my favorite recreational activity is probably paddle boarding.
Nice. Corey, do you want to go next?
Sure. I'm Corey Grimm, and I teach ballroom dance, formerly through the Ashland Parks and Rec when there was a space to do that. I hope to do that again soon. I am a ballroom dancer. I also hike, garden, backpack, kayak, all kinds of stuff.
Great. Jim, do you want to go next?
Yeah, Jim Lewis, I'm a parks commissioner and got recreation during the COVID era. Guitar for sure. I have been playing a lot of guitar and it's a fabulous recreation.
Great. Leslie, go ahead.
Hi, I'm Leslie, new parks commissioner. I teach in the Environmental Science and Policy Department at SOU, and I am also an Ashland Devo coach. I coach little kids mountain biking, I don't know, as well as a bunch of other things. My favorite thing to do is anything that involves being out in the trail or backcountry. So I'm a really big trail runner and mountain biker. I like road biking too, and gravel biking and backcountry skiing and backpacking, and I love all that stuff. That's my jam.
Great. Great. Thank you. Staff, do you want to, Lonnie, Libby, do you want to just go really quickly and say what yours are, your favorite recreational activity?
I'll go quickly. I'm Libby, the Nature Center manager, and writing and teaching kids, hiking.
Great.
And yeah, I'm Lonnie, the recreation manager. Golf. I've become a golfer over the past year and a half to 2 years. So
nice. And I'm Rachel, and I would say my favorite recreational activity was paddleboarding, but I hurt my knee, so I'm waiting. I'm probably gonna have to get surgery. So I would say probably just like walking in my neighborhood. Going to the parks, things like that. So once my knee gets fixed up, I'll get back on that paddleboard. So, okay. So we're going to move on. The first item on the agenda is committee recruitment discussion. And currently we do have a committee member who actually moved out of the area, Beth Morris, and she was classified in as a program participant. And basically, we can have up to 9 voting members in RDAC, a minimum of 2, a maximum of 4 in each of the categories. So either program participant or community partner, plus 2 parks commissioners. And with that, the term limits are 3 years, and we're probably gonna have to do some alternating as far as like when people go off the committee or when we recruit and things like that. So basically we don't have to make a decision today, but I kind of just wanted to talk through and see if y'all had any input or feedback related to recruitment for a committee member. What we normally do is an application process. We'll do a press release, post it on the city website, probably do some outreach in like the city source, Facebook, send an email to all of our, you know, users that are currently registering for programs and things like that. And I'm also thinking of this committee itself and, you know, your ability to recruit amongst yourselves as well. So I just kind of wanted to open that up and see if y'all had any feedback on that. Leslie?
Oh, are committee members selected? We vote on them? Or?
So basically what happens is we would open an application process, and it's the application that the city uses for all of their commissions. Uh-huh. And it's pretty standard. I know there was a big discussion about it at the council level, but we would use that application. We would have an opening date and a closing date. And then staff would review the applications with probably the chair of the RDAC, whoever the chair ends up being, and then make some recommendations to the committee on that. And then it would have to go to the Parks Commission after that for approval.
Okay, so anyone can apply, anyone in the public can apply, but we would mm-hmm. be doing some recruitment that would hopefully be targeted to mm-hmm. get some folks that we think would be appropriate or useful mm-hmm. to be represented. Got it, okay, thank
you. Right, yeah, so we would be looking at someone deemed as a quote unquote program participant. It could be somebody who's, you know, actively participating, has participated in the past. I think that could be very loosely defined. Somebody who's maybe we worked with on special events. There's lots of opportunities. So
yeah. So from my little corner of the world, I would love to, make AWTA, the trail group, the trail running and hiking group, and RVMBA aware of this. I think both mm-hmm. groups would be interested. They run race events and or maybe Devo would be better mm-hmm. than RVMBA, but I'd love to see the trail using community represented.
Mm-hmm. How about others? Do others have input on this?
I'm curious, how many are we short right now?
So we're just short one, so it's really not it's not a rush. So we actually could hold off until later this summer and then maybe do a recruitment when we're kind of more established with a chair and a vice chair and our bylaws and things like that. So we're not in a huge rush to do it. Leslie?
I might be like very, very loosely defining program participant. This would be more of a facilities user, but another one that comes to mind is Ashland Soccer Club or other folks mm-hmm. that use the facilities, the fields.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
George Dorman would probably love to be involved in this group. I think he's very, he's very interested in being involved in the city and helping.
Risa?
I just think about younger people that enjoy parks, whether it's, you know, organized sports or unorganized sports, that just seems important.
So how would we capture that? I mean, how would we recruit that?
I would think more like high school level. I mean, ideally, if it's the term is 2 to 3 years, then you'd want to like shoot for a particular freshman or sophomore mm-hmm. so that they could play it through. And you know, there's a potential for them getting, you know, extra credit in some something or other.
Mm-hmm.
Thing.
Val and then Libby.
I was kind of trying to connect this with the SWOT analysis and in particular representing underrepresented groups. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if you want to, you know, use this recruitment opportunity as a way to maybe build some bridges and establish a channel, you know, to learn more maybe about what certain groups might need. And having a representative on the advisory committee would be maybe a good way to do that.
It's a great idea.
Yeah.
Libby?
Nailed it. That was kind of what I was going to say. I was also considering that students at SOU, an undergrad who's going to be in the community for 4 years, who might feel disconnected because they're a recent transplant, and we have some difficulty sometimes engaging this student body, and they might have internship and volunteer hours that they need to complete for different classes. So if they were in a subject, doing needs analysis for communities and doing statistical work and doing, trying to interpret what the community needs, there might be somebody who needs that as a capstone.
Mm-hmm. I think the Outdoor Adventure Leadership Program might be a really good fit. There might be some students interested, also environmental science.
And if you're looking at underrepresented groups, you could do a double whammy there by reaching out to, LGBTQ youth at SOU.
Mm-hmm. Native American, mm-hmm. African American, Latino, I hit them all.
Jim, did you have a comment?
Since my hope is we're going to be networking with the school district, SOU, and even maybe Shakespeare, anybody connected with any of those, because have an advocate in any one of those groups would be helpful. And then try to fill any other niche along the way would be fine too, because I've noticed in my years of volunteering, youth don't rush to join these government bodies, and but it is always helpful anytime we have youth, there's an energy there. So it would be, I think it would be very beneficial.
Okay, great. Lonnie, do you have any comments on this topic at all?
I guess I don't. I've just kind of been keeping track of some of the ideas here. And
you've been working with SOU, I know. And have you specifically been working with the outdoor recreation? And is it Will?
It at the Student Recreation Center. Hughes, LeCompte and Willie Long have been working with them. They, of course, in their world of student recreation, know what they're doing and have a great facility there. That is one avenue through the partnership that we have, that we can advertise these sort of things to the student body through their facility there. So we could definitely do that. And interestingly, I in the statistical realm, I work or have worked with Eva Skuratovich, who does have a connection to the school board, and also being able to help us along with needs assessment, as we did with the pool ad hoc committee. And she is reaching out to the Outdoor Adventure Leadership group to see if they might have some interest in joining us with that project potentially in the future. I can't really speak to any specifics just yet. So just something in the works.
Great. Well, those are all really great ideas. And I guess my next question was, are we in a rush to fill this, or should we maybe hold off a little bit until we have a little bit more information and our committee's a little bit more established? And then work on recruitment.
I would suggest holding off till it's a little more well-formed.
Okay. Was everybody okay with that, or?
Sounds like a good idea to me.
Okay. Well, we can revisit this at a later meeting, and we can come back with some, a list of ideas and ways to move this forward at a future meeting.
And who reviews the applications when the applications are put in?
So they go to the city recorder first. So she screens them all, and then for all of the committees, and then she sends them on to the correct department. So the city recorder would get them first, and then she would email them onto whoever our contact was. So probably myself or Lonnie or Libby. And then we just save them all in a file until it was time to review. So.
And the mayor has to sign off on this? Does it go through?
Oh, no, actually, because this is a committee established by the Parks Commission. Oh,
right, okay.
I think only the Parks Commission has to approve it. So once, yeah, so the RDAC committee would just make a recommendation. So, okay, so we'll revisit this and let's move on to the next item, which is the chair and vice chair. So eventually, and not doesn't have to happen today, we are going to need to operate with a chair and a vice chair of this committee. The duties of the chair to run the meetings and set the agenda with the APRC staff, so myself or Lonnie or Libby. And then the vice chair is basically runs the meetings if the chair is not present. So I guess I just wanted to see if anybody has any questions. I think what we would be looking at is the goal of these committees is probably to focus. I would look at focusing more on the citizen members as chair and vice chair, as opposed to the parks commissioners, since the parks commissioners would be the one advocating at the commission level for anything that the RDAC committee brought forth.
That was my question.
Yeah, that was your question. Okay. So I'm just going to open it up. I don't expect us to elect a vice chair or chair today, but I wondered if anybody had any thoughts or comments or might be interested in either of those roles to bring forward later. Risa?
I would not be.
Okay, Reese is out.
I'm in but out.
Okay.
What's our meeting schedule going to be? Is it monthly or bi-monthly?
Well, we're supposed to according to the policy, we have to meet every other month. Right now where we're kind of getting caught up, we have been meeting monthly. But that doesn't have to happen. And I know as far as I was going to make a proposal at the end of this meeting to actually not meet in June and meet in July instead, just to give us some chance to open the pool and get some things squared away. Mm-hmm. So
we're missing a lot of our people today, aren't we?
Mm-hmm. We're still missing people. We're missing Rebecca Bjornson, who is a school district, works for the school district. We're also missing Jordan and Pam Downs. Yeah.
What would you estimate is the time commitment outside of the meetings itself, as far as putting together an agenda and stuff like that?
Libby, do you want to answer that if you have any thoughts? Because Libby is currently the staff liaison to the B City subcommittee. I know she works with the chair. Well, yeah.
The most of the effort is just before the meeting, probably 2 weeks in it, a week and a half in advance of the meeting, putting the agenda together, which has a standard template. So that's probably an hour of work. And then maybe another hour in the week before the meeting, emailing the staff liaison back and forth, just to make a few small tweaks to the proposed agenda. And that's pretty much it. I would say it's maybe 2 hours of work before each meeting on average. And then it has been more for B City USA, just because they have so many active projects that chair is spearheading. Mm-hmm. And because they have to do an annual report through the B City USA and Xerces Society. So that makes it more, but for this committee, I think it would pretty much be the prep of the agenda and then emailing back and forth about how the agenda is going to go. The staff liaison provides some guidance, and then it's back on the staff liaison's shoulders to do the rest of it, like market the, to push that out through public channels, put it on the website, and prepare the Zoom link and the meeting recording and the meeting minutes. All of that stuff happens because of staff.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I could potentially do something like that. It would be easier for me to do live, so I'm not doing the Zoom stuff is a little bit more challenging for me, but yeah. I could potentially do something like that.
Okay. So I want to actually
Jim had his hand up for a second.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead, yeah. Jim.
Just a comment. I was talking to Michael Black, and I was asking him about the Zoom meetings because I've been a critic of it, you know, for the whole term of the COVID. But I understand how it somewhat works. But we're talking, you know, in July, Kate Brown might be coming out, and if things look good, we might actually have the mask thing go away, and so maybe we could actually meet face to face. I know it's a strange concept now in the COVID world, but I can't wait to get to that point. But then, you know, I've been waiting for over a year, so I'm very patient. So anyway, maybe, you know, July, August, something like that, we could actually be meeting in a room. And I don't know, Michael mentioned maybe some Zoom meetings will just continue on because of the ease of pulling that off, and people don't have to show up and they just got to sit in front of a computer. So anyhow, just a point of information.
Yeah, Leslie?
Oh yeah, for what it's worth, we, SOU, just got a notification from the president of the university saying that they will be, well, we're gonna be completely open starting September, open campus as per normal, and vaccines required, proof of vaccines required for all staff, faculty, and students. So I feel like if the campus is opening up, that's it for the town. Like we could follow suit. I don't know how it works with asking people about their decisions to vaccinate or not to vaccinate, but yeah, I'd also love to see life go back to normal and face-to-face meetings.
Risa?
I wonder if we're meeting in July or August, that we could meet outside in the shade somewhere, and then it just adds another layer of
safety.
And it's, I don't know, we're about recreating, so we could sit outside
at North Mountain Park.
I'd love that.
Sounds wonderful.
Yeah, I just need to check in. I know that the city has not been allowing any in-person meetings, so I would just need to make sure that's okay. But I do agree with you. I think there is, while I think I have grown to, I guess, the convenience of Zoom is nice, but at the same time, I miss the in-person. I mean, we all do. And maybe there's a balance too. Maybe there's, you know, we do an in-person meeting every once in a while, and we do a Zoom meeting every once in a while. A little of both. Hi, Jordan. Jordan just joined us.
Hi, Jordan. Hi, everybody. So sorry for being late. For some reason, I had my Apple calendars repeated something as being 4 p.m. instead of 3:30 or something like that. So
I had that too.
Well, thanks. Okay. Well, so I'm not sure how we got on that, the meetings in person.
That was just my comment that I'm pretty comfortable leading a meeting or whatever. I wouldn't jump forward to do that, but if nobody else wanted to do it.
So I think what we'll do is, if everyone can kind of think about if you're interested in being a chair or vice chair, we'll bring this back to the next meeting. And I also want to make sure that I reach out personally to Rebecca and to Pam to find out if they're gonna wanna continue with this group, or if I need to do some recruitment, things like that. And then we can have everybody together and figure out next steps for chair and vice chair. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Okay. And then I just wanted to bring back, before COVID started, I had met, we had designated a working group with Risa and Jordan, and we had looked at some bylaws, and we actually went off of the bylaws that the Ashland Senior Advisory Committee had already adopted. And so those bylaws, I believe everybody has a copy copy of those. And mostly I just wanted to see what your thoughts were, one about the bylaws, and then also thinking about the term limits. One of the things that we could do as a group once we move forward with this is actually adopt the bylaws, approve the bylaws, and the term limits that we set would begin upon the adoption of the bylaws, which would actually be cool because we pretty much lost a year with COVID. So that may be beneficial. So I will open it up for discussion.
They look pretty standard to me.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else have thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. It seems kind of like a boilerplate bylaws. There's nothing specific to the recreation subcommittee on this then?
They're just, it basically, the only thing that's specific, it does talk about the purpose of the committee and how many members we can have, how many meetings we can have, the working groups, and then the only thing that's specific to the group would be the addendum, which is the term limits of the committee.
I didn't see the purpose. Obviously, yeah. pretty short, but then that's our visioning and our...
Short and vague.
Yeah, and that comes later, what we're actually doing here.
Leslie?
There's a note on here with term limits that I agree with, that they should be staggered somehow. So mm-hmm. I don't know how we intend to do that, but I think that's a great idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think when Jordan and Risa and I actually had spoken with Eileen Glatt, the senior services superintendent, and they didn't do that. And she said they're, you know, they had some vacancies, which people that went off the board. And so it's probably all going to work out at this point, but that's what she recommended. So if we go in and stagger like a 2, 3 or 3.5 year terms, then everybody won't go off the committee at the same time.
And then I just have a question. I know that advisory committees generally work in a one-way direction, as in advisory committees come up with recommendations and they bring them forward to the APRC. Do they ever, and with the APRC, does it ever go the other direction where APRC says, well, this is an issue, it would be great if the advisory committee worked on this or gave us some recommendations. Just, is it a two-way street or more of a one-way street?
I think it's a two-way street, right, Jim? I would say that.
Last night I was begging for a conservation subcommittee meeting, which I've done over and over, and you know, I hopefully will force that issue. So yeah, that's important. And you know, personally, I always listen intently to recommendations from subcommittees. People volunteer, they spend some time, formulate ideas and rationale, and man, I'm all ears. So as commissioners, I think the advisory part is important because we kind of formulate some of our future and where we're gonna go with it by what these subcommittees do. So. Yeah.
And I would give an example too of two different examples. The first one is the pool ad hoc committee. It's not an established subcommittee, but it was established by the Parks Commission as a temporary ad hoc committee to review options for the pool. And Lonnie was a staff liaison to that committee. And the Parks Commission was like, we need a group of people that can tell us what we think, you know, what the community needs. And so that committee was established. The second example is the senior center. When we went through kind of a changing with the senior center, we established an ad hoc subcommittee of community members and a Parks Commissioner, two Parks Commissioners that met to make recommendations to the Parks Commission regarding the changing of the Senior Center and the Senior Services Division. So those are two examples. I know they're more ad hoc, but I think that I think I've heard parks commissioners say at meetings, yeah, we should talk to the senior services division advisory committee about that. So I think there's definitely, it's a two-way street.
Cool.
Any other questions? I think what I'll do is if you all are okay with this, take a stab at putting some term limits in, just kind of randomly. and then I can bring it back to the committee at a later time, maybe at our next meeting, and just kind of make a shot in the dark on term limits. Risa?
It's also possible that, like, there's a couple of people that aren't on yet that haven't joined us yet. And right. So that would also create a natural stagger that could help with that.
Mm-hmm.
But absolutely. You know, it's into the future, but
yeah, absolutely. Okay. Well, I'll bring that back as well. Let's move on to.
Actually, I wanted to bring Jordan up to speed. Our first agenda item was recruitment. And so we have a opening. So everybody talked about, you know, kind of figured out somebody who would be interested in joining up with that. So I wanted to bring you up to speed on that one. If you have any people that you consider capable of being on the recreation subcommittee.
Yeah, we're doing a recruitment probably this summer for another member. So once that's all put together, I'll send out an announcement and you guys can send it out to people that you know, people that you think would be appropriate. And that'll be later down the road this summer. So.
Okay, so we weren't throwing out names.
We were kind of talking generally about underrepresented groups, maybe a student from SOU, maybe a high school student, maybe even somebody from the Ashland Soccer Club. We just kind of Rogue Valley Mountain Bike Association, just kind of throwing out kind of target groups that we could target. Yeah. Okay. So the next thing is the Recreation Division update.
Risa had her hand up.
Oh, sorry, Risa.
Just real quick, I just know, you know, on the commission I serve on, you know, filling seats is very challenging. And I think if there's people that have come to mind, you know, during today's meeting, to reach out to those people and just say, you know, we're not ready today, but think about it. I think you could be really, a good, you know, mix in our group. Rather than waiting until it's like, okay, go, because mm-hmm. it all, you know, it's not a quick start for, piquing the community's interest in possibilities.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes, that's good. Reaching out to people that you think would be a great fit.
I think that's a good point, Risa. The conversations can take a while to really bloom. Mm-hmm. So we can start planting some seeds even in advance of, you know, directly asking.
Correct. Definitely. Okay. Any other thoughts on this? Okay. I'm going to move forward into the Recreation Division update. And while Lonnie and Libby are thinking about what they're going to say, I'm just going to briefly update you that we are the cost recovery team, project team met this morning, myself and Superintendent Glatt from the Senior Center, Tara Keywell, she's our budget analyst, and Sean Sullivan, who is our office manager, have been working on this project along with a lot of other APRC staff. We met today, and our plan is to give an update to the commission in June with no decisions being made at that meeting, but we are going to be talking to them about showing them actually where we're at with the cost recovery project. And that includes talking about the process we went through to get where we're at right now, the development of service categories, where each of the programs and services fit into, We're going to be talking about the continuum. So, you know, the subsidy. So starting at 0%, like open access to parks, all the way up to merchandise, food and beverage merchandise, which is at the top end of cost recovery. So we'll be talking about that. Came up with kind of a plan and outline today, but I just want to let you all know that when we do that presentation, I'll probably send it out to the RDAC committee, so you can stay up to date on that. And I would imagine as we move forward with some decisions related to cost recovery, we'll be bringing those probably to this committee as well, just to talk through prior to taking it to the commission. So it's exciting, but we kind of got sidelined for a little bit, just working through the next 2-year budget. We kind of had to put it on hold for a little bit while we move through budget process. Does anybody have any questions about the cost recovery at all?
I know it's a big deal.
Yeah.
And I feel like I could probably benefit from just a little bit of an overview of what is being asked of you in terms mm-hmm. of cost recovery and what are the implications?
Mm-hmm. So nothing is being asked of us at this time. What we simply did is we used this program, this cost recovery program and model to put in all of our programs and services. And we simply are looking at we've never done this deep of a dive into all of our services and to see how much things really cost and okay. to really have the public understand in order to maintain and manage this part. I mean, we've done it on the recreation side to a certain degree, but never for the entire department. So people are going to be able to see how much it really costs to maintain Lithia Park and how much it really costs to rent out facilities, because we don't make money, you know, so really looking at those pieces and then looking within that, looking at, are there, I think we're going to start with kind of like the low hanging fruit, like what are the small changes that we can make in order to positively benefit the department? And it doesn't mean go in and raise fees everywhere. Mm-hmm. It, you know, it could mean a multitude of things. It could mean, you know, we're going to slowly phase out this service, but we're going to replace it with this. And what's the benefit? What's the value of doing that? So just kind of looking at things a little at a time is kind of, did that answer your question?
Yeah, I think so. So it sounds like it's an analytic process that's providing insight, first of all, internally mm-hmm. for everybody in the whole department, mm-hmm. and then also externally for the public. Mm-hmm. And it'll feed into the decision-making process mm-hmm. in some way. But you don't have a cost recovery target that you need to meet.
So we are eventually we'll be proposing targets for, and it'll be a range. What the project team has come up with is like within each of the service categories, looking at a range of cost recovery targets, not just saying that, you know, community, let's just say special events has to bring in, you know, 90% cost recovery. That's obviously not feasible, but we're also looking at other communities too. What are other communities doing? We were on a cohort with 3 different other agencies in Oregon. And we all did this kind of process together. And so it's been interesting to look at what they're doing and how they're implementing this
sure.
and what the different processes are. So it's not, eventually we'll go to the Parks Commission and say, this is our recommendation for some cost recovery targets. But those are just targets. And
okay.
so, I saw a couple hands up, Corey, and then Jim, and then Libby.
I was wondering if we would have access to that information at any time, the reports that you're putting together.
Yeah. At some point I'll be able to share those. We're still going through, I just found another mistake recently when Libby and I were chatting about a program the other day. So I'm going to have to go back in and import, export. So yeah, but yes, eventually you will. Mm-hmm. Jim?
Yeah, just a statement. Parks and Recreation traditionally isn't a real capitalistic business model. So we tend to give stuff away. And you know, two of the most subsidized and, you know, in my opinion, the most important are the Senior Center and the Nature Center. Mm-hmm. So the value, it's a kind of an intrinsic value. It's not a cash value. But then the skate rink, the golf course, and, you know, indoor recreation part is just, you know, that's been a complete disaster during COVID, where the golf course, oddly enough, it has blossomed. And if you've noticed people in the park and up on the trails, they're everywhere. The people have adapted to the new COVID and have recreated in other ways. But for revenue generation, we had an excellent plan, and we incrementally moved because inflation never sleeps. So at least we have to keep up with inflation on some of these things. So if it's a background 2% inflation every year, we really need to not let that get too far ahead of us, because otherwise, you know, the ones that we can make some money on, I know Guanajuato, we basically benefited the restaurants and the artisans mart by not charging them, because there's such a benefit to the community. So maybe we have some problems when we go to council. They're a little more mercenary, I should say, you know. And so we have to justify what we do as bringing this value that isn't a monetary value. So we always try to do that. Rachel's been great at this cost recovery for decades. You know, as long as you've been around, I think you've worked towards showing us where we can go and what other communities charge and things like that. And so we have a long history of trying to keep up with that, but this COVID has not been that great for cost recovery.
Right. Libby, and then Leslie.
I just wanted to give a little bit of background on this particular structure, which when you do this analysis, you try to take into consideration all of the generalized costs and distribute those across all the programs, and then also the specific costs that go into offering each individual program. And in an effort to just balance the budget, right? And one thing that I think is interesting about it is there's in all the menu of programs that we offer, some of them we're able to be, I think as Jim said, maybe a little more mercenary, like some of them we're able to achieve a higher cost recovery and charge more and pick up enough from those particular services from which we would have a higher target of cost recovery on those services. And hopefully the idea is that those would bring in enough money to fuel the things that we feel are really important community services, so that those can have a lower cost recovery target in the end.
Yep, makes total sense.
Yeah, Leslie?
I'm curious, in your conversations with other communities, I know this is probably gonna get me some boos, but are they all charging for parking? I mean, it seems like...
I don't think we've talked about that, but I can sure ask.
It's just like the food and beverage tax, right? It's like you're targeting visitors who don't expect to be able to necessarily park for 4 hours for free, who want to go see beautiful Lithia Park and are willing to pay to park right there. And I know that locals, we don't want to pay to park either, but it's, and maybe it would be the city and not APRC that benefited from this anyway, but I still, everywhere I go, I have to, everywhere in Bend, every time I go to a park, I'm paying for parking, and I think it's great, but I also kind of wonder, like, why doesn't Ashland do that?
I think it's a great point. It's something that we should bring up at some point. I want to key in on something really quickly that Jim said when, you know, as far as kind of the evolution of the cost recovery. And one of the things that Jim said is something that we've talked about during this process is, you know, comparisons, like when you're comparing, you know, different communities as far as what they're charging and what we're charging. Well, you know, that's actually like, that's not happening anymore. Like, we don't want to do that anymore. We don't want to compare ourselves to other communities, because we just need to know what things cost. And I think that like, once we know what things cost, then we can figure out how much we want to subsidize those things or not. And I think that's the goal here, is to really hone in on what things cost and not compare ourselves to other communities. So
what your costs are. Yeah.
Right. We want to know what our costs are and what our costs and what our revenues are and what we want to subsidize more than other things. So that's the goal.
Although it could also be useful if somebody else is doing a similar kind of a project and they're not spending as much money, it could be useful to figure out how they're doing it. What's the trick?
Absolutely. Yes. In that respect, definitely. Okay. Any other questions on cost recovery? All right, I'll turn it over to Lonnie first. And if you want to talk about some of the things that are happening in recreation.
Sure, thanks. Yeah, I guess I'll start. I was thinking maybe what's good to do here is to start with the negative things and build up to the positive things and end on a good note. So the Grove, as most of you know, or for the people that want to get into the Grove, we still don't have a timeline for reopening the Grove with the city of Ashland's declaration for state of emergency. However, with the new metrics coming out for vaccination rates for counties, and that there seems to be some light at the end of the tunnel, especially with the information that Leslie shared and others have shared, that we do hope to have some idea of what it's going to look like to reopen the Grove in the coming months, or you know, by fall. Fall is a very popular time to get new programs running, so we are hopeful for that. I was going to mention, as I did mention before, we have partnered with Southern Oregon University, and we are going to be starting a rock wall climbing program there at the Student Recreation Center Climbing Center. It will be instructed by the SOU staff that will be handling many different youth groups coming through to do rock wall climbing. And our program will be kind of abbreviated, one session, 1 2-week, four class session in July. But we hope to build off of this with SOU to share facility usage, resources, getting information out through SOU, so shared marketing, and you know, building a climbing program where there's more continuity and more regular programming going on throughout the year for the youth of Ashland. So that's a positive thing. Been working really diligently to get everything in order to open the Daniel Meyer Pool at Hunter Park. So we are eyeing June 1st as our opening date for a soft opening. It will begin with lap swimming, just one lap swimming session midday to start. One of our big challenges with staffing is that a lot of the staff are in school until school is out, and then they'll be available for more regular work after school. So we're doing a soft opening until school's out. We will have some rec swim sessions over the weekend and in the afternoons on Friday, and building up to June 21st, I believe, or June 19th would be that Saturday right after school's out. And we are concentrating on swim lessons as our main priority. We will should be announcing tomorrow on our website the process and procedures and how swim lessons will be safely implemented at the Daniel Meyer Pool, announcing registration dates and what the program will look like. And then finally, on Memorial Day weekend, we do have the Ashland World Music Festival. And I think, you know, and Val can, and if she would like to speak to it more, you may be able to get in touch with her and learn more about it, or go to the Rogue World Music website to look at the music festival and what it includes. It is a very well curated list of performers. It's a virtual event, and there are the new thing that we're doing is the sound walks. So it's a very cool new, you know, way that we can offer community events to the public, being safe, you know, being agile with these, with the pandemic and who knows what else to come in the future. Me personally, I've been, it's been a great learning process, and I've really enjoyed working with this group. I won't go into a lot of the details, but there has been a lot of behind the scenes work that's been done over the past couple of years to do this festival in a very responsible fashion. And I'll use the term culturally competent, that we're bringing forth a festival that is representative, authentically representative of the cultures being represented. And again, Val, if you know, if you want to clarify any of that, you know, please do. So
yeah, I mean, I think you've got it. That is a the guiding value for the festival. And of course, the situation this year, we were hoping for a live event in the park, but that wasn't possible. So we had to go the virtual route, but more of a hybrid this year. And really the coolest thing about the sound walks are that they help people circulate through the town in a way that is safe. So it's bringing some action back to downtown, the Calle. Also, there's a route down into the Railroad District and to Railroad Park, and then even to North Mountain Park as a site to experience the audio, experience visual arts that are all curated and have different cultural origins. So we're excited to be working with APRC, as always, on this.
Well, thank you for the clarification on that. And yeah, so that's my update, and I'll stop there.
Thanks, Lonnie. Libby, do you want to go ahead and go?
Yeah, let me pull this up here. So it's not particularly different since the last time I gave an update to the commission, but just a little bit about what we're working on. Like Lonnie, I'll start in the negative and build up. We have I've been having to spend quite a lot of staff time on a rat infestation that is threatening all of our school program materials, we've accumulated. This is actually good for everybody to know. There are 36 lessons in our school program menu of educational programs, and they're all in kits and they're all kit ready and ready to launch. So all the materials are in boxes with contents lists on the lids, and they're all stored down in the Pioneer Barn. And now they're all hazardous materials. So that's been fun. So we brought everything up to the Nature Center with the intent of just kind of preserving that investment, because that is a lot of curriculum and a lot of curriculum materials that are need to be gone through and cleaned, and I need to buy reorder some, which is no big rush on because we won't be offering school programs anytime soon, but at least I'll have to kind of get that stuff in order. Let's see. In addition to our regular Wednesday morning gardening work parties, which are a really big deal, which we have up to 10, maybe more volunteers who come every week, who adopt the garden beds, and then who also do drop-in gardening, even if they haven't adopted their own bed, just to take care of all of the demonstration gardens around here. So that's what we always dedicate our Wednesday mornings to. And in addition to that, we're also dedicating Thursday mornings to restoration work parties in the park proper. So out in the natural area, trails maintenance, invasive species removal, hand clearing of blackberries and pruning and weeding. So Those are relatively new this year because we don't have any seasonal staff. And so we've been trying to develop momentum for those. It's a small group so far, but Suleiman is doing a great job of helping recruit for those work parties. So yeah, that's Wednesday mornings, Thursday mornings. Today I offered my first of a sequence of nature journaling classes, which is probably the most fun I'm gonna have anytime in the near future, because I could actually teach, got back to actually teaching today for one real hour of actual teaching. It was amazing. We had community members signed up and we had a really good time. So there's gonna be 4 1-hour sessions in that. I've been supervising student projects and I'm trying to bring some of them to a close because that actually supervising interns is quite a bit of work. And so we successfully achieved a few nice educational videos by working with the student interns from the Environmental Education Master's Program, which was my master's program. So we always take a lot of those EE students, grad students in through North Mountain Park, and we train them and we do a lot of different projects with them. So we have a series of videos available on our website for teachers who call us and almost in tears because they can't take a field trip. And I'm like, well, you know, we have a couple of interns who filmed some of our field trip curriculum so you can play it in your classroom. Mm-hmm. So we brought a couple of those to a close and I'm gonna turn my attention, if I do supervise student projects going forward, I need those to be focused on the park maintenance really and the development of restoration, the development of the restoration plan for the areas impacted by BlackBerry's fuel removal. So that's what I'm looking to do now, to still continue working with students, but to really focus the efforts on what's first and foremost in our minds is the restoration and remediation of those impacts. So just to kind of bring that story to a close, the BlackBerries were cleared, but the work wasn't as extensive as we had originally been told to expect. So we expected it to cover the entire park from one end to the other and have no BlackBerries left. But as it is, it's probably about a third of the impact area that we were expecting. So that was good, but we still have a lot of cleared vegetation that have already started growing back from the root balls because the root balls are all still in there. So we've got we're growing a nice little carpet of 1 or 2 high BlackBerries over the whole thing. So we're working with partners from the Rogue Basin Partnership, Rogue Basin Watershed Council, Freshwater Trust, and SOU, to develop kind of the research arm of what I'm seeing as a large public education project. So in this moment, our community is really concerned with fuels reduction, but that if we can actually turn that energy and that momentum into habitat improvement, I think that's the next frontier. Rather than just fuels reduction that's left to regrow BlackBerry, I want to work with partners to test different restoration prescriptions on these impacted areas, because I think North Mountain Park is situated really well to kind of umbrella this as a research project, turn these areas of impact into basically test sites and try a variety of toolkit, variety of tools from the restoration toolkit, and then eventually spread that information to the public via the education. So we've got kind of research, volunteerism, and education rolled into that potential project, and hopefully be able to teach private landowners and, you know, public agencies like ourselves what tools and what combination of tools will be most effective in increasing diversity at the end of the day.
That sounds so exciting, Libby. It really does. And I just wonder, have you had much time to research best practices that have been shared by other entities that have done this, you know, and have some results finally, you know, now after a decade or two of implementation?
Yeah, that's why we're bringing in some people who are already experts in the subject. Jen and I have both of us have worked in habitat restoration before I went into education. That's what I was doing, but that school skill set is many years old by now. But Eugene Weir and John Spies, they bring to the table a whole bunch of different restoration prescriptions and a couple of new restoration prescriptions that they want to test the efficacy of. Mm-hmm. And a few prescriptions that they know are effective,
right,
but the public is not convinced.
I see.
Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of possibility there.
Right, right. Good.
And they've, and you know, I brought this up with Eugene from the Trash Water Trust, and he sent me you know, a wonderful, really long document that just got published by the California Invasive Plant Council, that talks about all these non-chemical weed management strategies and really explains the efficacy of all of the different ones. And they were all compared. So we're not by any stretch of the imagination the first ones to be doing this, yeah, but I think doing it in our watershed in front of the eyes of the people who are most concerned is really great, because it would be, you know, Bear Creek watershed, your neighborhood right next door. You can look at the results.
Yes, yes, that'll be greatly valuable. And as far as the messaging between fuels reduction and habitat restoration, really it's a win-win if you take the longer view, because habitat restoration is the ultimate sustainable, you know, fuels reduction strategy.
Absolutely. Yeah. But it is harder. It takes some long-term planning.
It does.
So yeah.
Risa?
I just wanted to mention, Libby, that your whole process sounds really important and challenging. And one of the things that comes to mind, as if what you're trying to do is not challenging enough, but the piece that has to do with transparency and communication with the community that has a variety of different reactions to what's happening, some that's just complete ignorance, and then members of the community that, you know, it could be really helpful if there are mechanisms with some of those projects to somehow invite the public. You know, maybe there's some part of a particular day that could be, you know, a demonstration or a mini tour, so that they could see and understand. And saying that, I realize that's a whole other layer of
work. It's exactly what we're planning, though. And that's not another layer. That's the end goal, you know? So it may be a couple of years in the making until you can start to see differential success of the different methods. But that's why I think the Nature Center is positioned really well for that, because we can very easily throw a community program up where, if you're a landowner, come down, we're going to spend this afternoon talking about this. I will show you the number of hours it took to get this plot to this level and to get this plot to this level. And also the Bear Creek Salmon Festival, if we ever get that back up and running, is a perfect opportunity, yeah, to tour the site and have people sitting right in the middle of these restoration plots with a table, you know?
So I guess, like, if there is a way to somehow bring the community in, not in 2 years, but, you know, with each step,
right,
and maybe throw in an article in the, you know, paper or in the sneak preview, just to put it on the website, you know, quick little clips, phase one, phase two, in case you missed it, you know, we have been, you know, we have the tendrils out to let you, to bring you along and let you know how you can participate and what has been happening and what's going to happen.
Thank you. That's actually a really good idea. And it's my next big puzzle, is to how to publicize the steps as they happen, so that the community is curious to see the results when that is released.
Jim?
On that point, I think community has a lack of information on the complexity of this. And when the Freshwater Trust came to us showing us other sites that have some history to them, that was very reassuring, because it's so daunting, the Himalayan blackberries, that it scares me. So you see this group working and having a process, and we have to sell that to the community, because some of it deals with a glyphosate, which is, best thing Parks did was to reduce the glyphosate down to almost nil. But once we explain the issues involved and how it's not the short term, it's really the long term, like you mentioned earlier. The short-term gains, we want that long-term gain, and it's not going to happen tomorrow. But as Risa said, you bring the community along, it'd be a good thing to keep everybody informed. And I'm not sure how we have our parks view, and I would guess we allow staff to do that a lot, as far as have a favorite subject to bring to the community. And and as a little sideline, my grandkids absolutely love the reopening of the natural play area. So thank you. It is one of my favorite places in town. So
thank you.
Well, I just want to wrap this conversation up, but just by saying that one of the things that I think is so great about what Libby and the staff at the Nature Center is doing, is I think it's going to tie in really well to where we're at with the Parks Commission and the goals adoption, because one of the goals is discussing fire mitigation. And I think that one of the there could be a few objectives within that goal that could relate to what Libby and her staff are already doing at the Nature Center. So I think there's some really good opportunities. And once we get a final draft of the goals that were approved last night by the Parks Commission, I'll make sure you all get a copy of those, just so you can see what the direction for the next 2 years will be for the Parks Commission. So with that, we're gonna move on on our last 20 minutes, and we're gonna talk about we're going to do a little visioning exercise, and Libby's going to lead us through that. So Libby, do you want to take it away?
Hi everyone. So we have about 15 minutes left, and I'd like the committee to begin discussing and brainstorming strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats in some areas that I know that we're all concerned about. So some of the areas that we were talking about included health and wellness, underrepresented groups, stewardship, and community building. And so when I realized that there were four main topics and we wanted to think about all of them in terms of their strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats, that sounded like a spreadsheet to me. So whoever has charge of the screen sharing, could someone give me the ability to screen share just for a moment?
You got that, Lonnie? Okay.
So here's this document. Can you see the spreadsheet here?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So in it, we've created tabs for each member of the committee here. And in each tab, there's an opportunity to fill in what you think are the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats around these four main categories. So it's possible for us all to get in there together and just visit the spreadsheet by going to this web address, which I'm going to paste into the chat for you. And we can do some of this by just focusing on looking at the spreadsheet and filling it in. But we can also do some of it out loud if you're having trouble making the technology work. So if there's something that you want to talk about and there's something you want us to type in for you, we can do that as well. What I noticed is that some of you have already done your homework. It was super awesome. So Val went in here and filled in a couple of bullets. Risa also filled in some bullets. The first several of these have responses in them. And then there's a few people who still who still need to think it through and haven't put anything into their tab of the spreadsheet yet. So what I thought we could do is just start with a quick, maybe 5 minutes of going ahead and in there in your web browser and poking around. If you're a person who has already filled out your tab of the spreadsheet, look at other people's and get your head around what other people are thinking. If you're a person who hasn't had that chance yet, hasn't had a chance to get in there, you can have 5 minutes to look at it and organize your thoughts a bit. So that pretty much covers all of us. If we've done it, we're in there looking at what other people have done. If we haven't done it, we're giving a few answers. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And one thing I wanted to point out when I'm still sharing screen is this little button up here, insert comment. It also appears when you click on a cell and you right click, there's the opportunity to insert a comment. So if I really liked what Rachel was saying about diversity right here, I could press this little button and be like, right on. Okay. And now that leaves a comment for someone else to notice that I agreed with what was in that cell. You don't have to use it, but it's a cool feature of, you know, where you're collaboratively brainstorming and looking at other people's work. So I'm going to stop sharing my screen now, because if you'd like, you can go to that. Oh, there, and Lonnie already shared the link. So if you go to the chat in Zoom, there's a hyperlink to that same Excel spreadsheet you were just looking at. And maybe we take five to poke around in there and see what everyone else has been doing, or search your soul for a few answers on your own.
Could I ask a question?
Absolutely, yeah.
I wasn't quite sure how to interpret the question about stewardship.
Okay.
Is that resource stewardship? Is that financial stewardship?
That's a great question. I, of course, was thinking about land stewardship.
Land stewardship.
I mean, okay. Who knows? There's also a lot of ways to read that. What do you think, Rachel?
I think it could be, I think it could be land stewardship, but I also think it could be financial stewardship, if that's what you want it to mean.
Well,
I don't know.
Does the definition takes thought in different directions in mm-hmm. terms of SWOT analysis.
So I would say, for the purpose of this exercise, we did mean land stewardship.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And well, land stewardship by like volunteering, you know, there's right. lots of ways to think about that. So
I'm going to edit my spreadsheet to say land stewardship.
Or just stewardship in general, like volunteering, you know, in the community, whether that's for a program or on, you know, parks property, anything like that.
Okay.
Please raise your hand if you're having trouble looking, browsing through the document using your web browser. Okay. So Risa and Jim.
It's okay. Just pass on me. It's not worth your aggravation or mine.
It won't actually aggravate me to do another share screen so that you can look, you know. So what I could do is continue, go back here, share my screen so that some people who can't get in there are able to see.
I tried to use the link, but it
didn't like it.
That's a nice way to put it.
So for your benefit, Risa and Jim, I'm going to go to Val's tab for a moment or two, and those of you who are in it on your own, you don't have to look at it via my share screen via Zoom. It's only for the people who are having a little trouble seeing.
You're very kind, Libby.
If there's anything you want to drop a comment on, Risa or Jim, let me know. I'll be happy to.
Yeah, I don't see a place where I can click on that and on my screen. View options.
I'm going to paste the link again into the chat. So in Zoom, there's a hyperlink in the chat now. If you go open the chat,
chat. Oh, God.
Window, that's how you can get to where I am. Okay. So it looks like Val has some good stuff. I'm going to page over to Risa's own tab so we can Risa can look at her own.
Oh, well, I just did some, and then it took me to this thinger where welcome to RDAC's
there you go.
Brainstorming resource.
That's perfect. That you're in the right place now, Risa. At okay. the very at the very bottom of your screen, you probably see one name. Tab that says blank and one tab that says your name.
Yep.
Yep. Click on any of those to browse around.
Because they're all separate and at some point they'll be joined.
Exactly.
Okay. And then you were saying if you want to say like, yes.
If you want to say yes, I'll show you. I mean,
yeah.
You can right click on any cell. Try using your right mouse button to click on any random cell.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's a pop-up window that if you look down in the list, it says comment.
Oh, yes. Aha. Dude. But then how do you stick your comment so that it reflects the comment that you're
looking so whatever cell that you were interested
in. That you highlighted. Mm-hmm. Like, let's just pretend. Okay.
So whatever cell you're interested in leaving a comment on, you use your right mouse button, you click on that cell, click on the word comment, and then whatever you type next,
right,
hit enter, is what will go into that cell as your enthusiasm or your disagreement.
How do you make it enter? How do you, because I like typed yes just because I just want to see if I can make it work.
Yeah. And there's the word comment just below the field. Do you see the button that says comment right below where you're typing? You type the word yes, and the green button lights up and says comment. Let me share screen again.
Okay.
So the way that I got here was I right click on the cell that I like, boom, using my right mouse button. I go here to comment from the window that pops up. I type whatever I want to say, good job. And then that green button beneath the text box lights up and allows me to press on the button that says comment, and it drops the comment on that cell. And you don't have to do it. None of these things are requirements, but they're cool skills to have so that we can give feedback. If you don't have it, we're gonna wrap this up in about a minute or two anyway. Let's give it one more minute to browse what other people were saying.
So can we browse this at our leisure at some point?
Absolutely.
On the link that's on the email.
Mm-hmm. This link will continue to work, and it'll be a place where we can continue to come back.
And this is on the Google Docs thing, and is that, mm-hmm. I've had my issues with that. I'm not Mr. Computer savvy, so, I will do the best I can. I made a few notes of things, and so now I might give that a shot at my leisure and try to add comments, or actually fill in some of the blanks, as opposed to leaving a side comment. It'd be nice.
Jim, you can also email any comments you have to one of the three of us, and we can.
Okay, great. Yeah, that's something I.
Any of you
can do.
Yeah.
So that's been about 5 minutes. So I wanted an opportunity for people to browse through what was there, but then we can discuss it. Leslie, what were you going to say?
Sorry, my husband's asking me questions at the same time. Well, I just, having a separate tab for every person, it's kind of nice, I think, in terms of original brainstorming, but mm-hmm. I think at this point now, I'd like to be able to look at everybody's at once,
yeah,
which is a little, and have like be all working on one independent Google Doc, and I don't want to give you more work, but no. In terms of conversationally, it's tough to have 8 different tabs at the moment, but
that is the next step.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah. But it just depends on how much time we have, and it may be the next step that we, that I do this back after the meeting and then send it out to just compile it into one. But were there any items that stood out for you? Let's just take them one at a time. Let's take health and wellness we only have 5 minutes. Were there any items that stood out for you under health and wellness as you were browsing that you were thought, this was a great idea? Yeah, Corey.
I think one issue is, are we looking at right now? Because a year and a half ago, we had a great program. Mm. And now with everything shut down, as far as community building, all these classes are gone, you know, a lot of things that were available before aren't now. Mm-hmm. So as far as this brainstorming process, are we looking at how things normally are and how we hope they're going to be again soon, or are we looking at current?
What would you say, Rachel? Current?
I'd say current. I'd say you could, I look at COVID. I mean, obviously I look at it negatively, but I also try to look at what's positive about COVID. And what's positive about COVID is it's giving us a chance to look at what we do. And with COVID and the cost recovery, look at what we do and are we doing it the right way? Is there opportunities to change it? So I guess it could be, I would say current.
I took the perspective of current because there were some things that we were doing really, really well. Like mm-hmm. for example, offering hands-on standards aligned outdoor education to K-5 students.
Yeah.
And instead of saying that that's a strength, I say that that is maybe an opportunity because we have 36 kits full of lesson plan materials that I can use to offer standards aligned outdoor education. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely not a current strength, but maybe it's an opportunity that we can access again.
Okay, so future things are gonna be opportunities rather than strengths at the moment.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah, Jim.
And I think Corey had a good point. The fact that we have an incredible recreation guide and all the things pre-COVID and things. So obviously the threat is the next pandemic, you know? I mean, we've already gone through this one and it was a challenge, and it'd be nice not to have the challenge and get back to the puppet shows or, you know, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, those are the sad things about COVID, and I tend to gravitate to those and trying to, it doesn't seem like there's an easy way to adapt to some of these things just because of the proximity of humans, which is completely counter to a health, mental health and physical well-being, you know, which is really what Parks and Rec's all about. So, you know, and another threat obviously is the budget issue. And I noticed that listed a few times too. Mm-hmm. And you know, opportunities, there's always more opportunities. People will come to Rachel, I'm sure, and say, hey, I want to offer a class. And if it fits into that, then, you know, it gets inserted into the system. But now we have to realize it's all outdoors and, you know, doing Tai Chi at the senior center outside in November, you know, hey, good luck. So each one, the threats are pandemic. So
can I jump in?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I really liked Leslie's opportunity listing under health and wellness, because I think it actually hits maybe all four birds with one stone. Volunteer groups looking to create more opportunities for health and wellness that can feed into the stewardship that you want to build momentum for, and also community building. And that actually can be a way to begin to maybe reach out and connect with some underrepresented groups, mm-hmm. You know, because it's not a long-term commitment. It's not anything you have to pay for. It's kind of a getting to know you type of experience, especially if you design it that way.
But I thank you. I would add to that though, that a weakness is, and maybe this is, a lot of this the difficulties that I've experienced in COVID, but to me, a weakness is the communication and the procedure for working with those volunteer groups, because it just, in my experience through, and I wouldn't consider Ashland School District a volunteer, Ashland Soccer Club a volunteer group, but the AWTA and RVMBA that, you know, actively want to maintain trails, build trails, Devo creating kids groups. It is extremely bureaucratic and very unclear how they can work with APRC to make those things happen. And I don't think it's just COVID. I think there's a lot of confusion, and there's overlapping jurisdiction, and there's a Forest Service. And a lot of these volunteer groups are like, I have this great idea. We're going to do this amazing. I'm going to create a nonprofit. We're going to do these things for kids. They get so frustrated because they just can't realize their dreams of doing this amazing thing in Ashland, because they can't make it happen and they can't figure out who to go to, and they get kicked around from one place to the next, and they're just like dejected and frustrated, and they feel like they, and I've seen so many people give up and say, forget it. Like, I'm not even going to bother trying to have an event here. And I believe I think absolutely it's been intensified by COVID, but I think it was also a roadblock and a weakness to working with these volunteer groups beforehand. Mm-hmm. And I guess like some of the staff may want to tell me I'm wrong about that. I don't know, but that's been my, my impression. Mm-hmm.
I would totally agree with you, Leslie. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I had a totally different volunteer model in my head, which was more, the project is structured by the agency, mm-hmm. and the agency staff coordinates the groups who come and contribute to the project.
Mm-hmm. And that is something that we do pretty well. So when it comes to establishing the project goals, and then having Suleiman, you know, either solicit for adopt a park groups or public work parties to direct them towards something that's already kind of on the books as a goal, that works pretty seamlessly. But I've never actually been closely involved in what it looks like when a group from the outside has a project proposal. Mm-hmm. That does sound like that could be gnarly. Well, here's my thought, since we're coming in at 5 o'clock. Yeah, Lonnie.
I felt compelled, and I know that we're really short on time. I felt compelled to make the comment. One, going back to Corey's point, you know, is this current or is this future? There's one thing that this pandemic has taught me, and I'm sure a lot of us in our planning and parks and recreation, is that all we can do is plan for the current and hope for the best. And yeah, because we don't know what's going to happen down the road. But with that said, I just wanted to make comment that I think the hopes of this exercise is that we're kind of building the foundation for a needs assessment, that we're going to be continuing to gather data from the larger Ashland community to help inform us the direction to go. So I figured it was worth just mentioning, you know, that's kind of where I guess we're hoping this could be headed, so that we have a very good foundation to build a needs assessment that will really inform what directions we take. So if that helps with your working through the SWOT analysis, hopefully it does. That's all I have.
Yeah, Risa?
Well, I know that we talked about not meeting next month, but I also feel like at this meeting, we're just kind of building some momentum. And so I would be willing to meet next month to build on, you know, what we have done today, and eventually our goal being every other month.
Great.
We'll do like that idea.
Okay.
I like where that's going. And I think that we went back and forth about whether to put all of these, all of our notes into one big pot, or to keep them as individual people's pots. And just for the sake of inputting our information and our ideas into it, we kept them as individual people's tabs. But the very next step is for me to go through here and pull everything and centralize it and then email that out to the group. So why don't we take another 2 days, or, you know, till the end of the week, or maybe Monday, let's say Monday, finish putting in your ideas into this document. And then on Monday,
or email
us, right? Yeah. and we'll put them in there for you if you're having trouble accessing it. And on Monday, I'll assume that all of our initial thoughts are in there, and I'll compile it into one big pot that lists and shows what the common threads are. And then we'll email that to you all so that we can continue the discussion and start narrowing it down in the next time we meet, which next month.
Yeah, we're going to meet. I have it on to meet on the 10th, Thursday, June 10th.
4 to 5:30
is what I was hoping to maybe try to, I was going to check in with Rebecca and Pam to see if they can do like a 4 to 5:30. Would that work for everybody to do a 4 to 5:30?
Instead of 3:30?
Instead of 3:30, if that's what works for them, because I think they both work in the schools, and so they may not.
Even 4:30 is better for me. I'm booked from 9 to 3 that day.
Okay.
Long Zoom.
Okay. Okay.
So I'm going to be kind of.
We'll see what we can do about pushing it a little bit later. Okay.
That works for me.
Yeah. Okay.
Great. Well, that sounds wonderful. Thank you for your initial feedback on the SWOT analysis. And I look forward to, if you're having any trouble with it, just email the stuff to us and we will compile it all.
Sorry, back to the meeting on the 10th. The SOU has a departmental commencement awards from 3:30 to 4:30. So I would be, I could do before then or I could do after them, but I definitely won't be available from 3:30 to 4:30. And hopefully, I mean, I hope it would be done at 4:30, but I can't even guarantee that. So I might be joining late.
Okay. All right. We'll try to accommodate what we can. Okay.
Thanks,
you all. We'll continue this discussion. We'll make this the only, maybe we should just make this the only thing on the agenda for next month, just to get working through a process.
So. Yeah, I can see taking this and then highlighting the themes and then turning those into potential questions for our needs assessment. How do we quantify this? How do we get the affirmation from the community that this is indeed, that we're, what we're perceiving as a need really is what the community feels is a need.
Great. All right. Well, we'll see you guys next month, and I will reach out by email with more information about the next meeting.
Okay.
Okay. Get a hold of us if you have any questions. Okay.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great meeting.